It's emerged that big American banks were hit by a coordinated series of cyber attacks this month.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. The FBI is looking into a major attack by computer hackers directed against more than one major U.S. bank. Bloomberg News first reported this. Sources then told the New York Times that it was J.P. Morgan and as many as four other financial firms that were the target of a sophisticated set of attacks. Marketplace's Kate Davidson joins me with more. Morning, Kate.
Good morning, David.
Kate, what do we know?
Bloomberg first reported, as you said, that J.P. Morgan and other banks were hacked this month. The FBI confirmed it's working with the Secret Service to investigate, and the other reports out there are largely based on anonymous sources. J.P. Morgan is the largest U.S. bank by assets. We know the American banking sector is often targeted by hackers, and the bank spends some $200 million annually to combat that. The New York Times reported that checking and savings account information was stolen from some of the banks. So one thing to look for in the coming days is fraud. If accounts are being drained or money moved, it could be an indication that the attacks were financially motivated. And if not, it might indicate there's a political motivation.
All right. Who done it?
Bloomberg reported Russian hackers were behind the attacks, but other security experts say it's too soon to conclude that. There were warnings from the cybersecurity community earlier that companies should be ready for cyber attacks from Russia in retaliation for sanctions. One thing, David, about the style of the attacks, the New York Times reported they really do seem to be aimed at gathering information and not disrupting service, which can be a calling card of political retaliation. That was the case when Iranian hackers disrupted U.S. banking websites in the past.
Kate Davidson reporting for Marketplace there. Kate, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, we reported earlier this week that big financial firms have a meeting set up with the U.S. Treasury Department next month in Washington to talk about working together to harden their systems further against hackers. In Detroit, the city's water department is back to shutting off supplies to residents who are behind on their water bills. Thousands of people, many of them poor, have already had their water cut off. A handful of fundraising campaigns have been launched to help. Marketplace's Noel King reports from our Wealth and Poverty Desk on whether those efforts are helping.
The United Way for Southeastern Michigan oversees the Detroit Water Fund. Delinquent residents can sign up for a payment plan, and the fund will cover a quarter of what they owe. They pay the rest. Doug Plant is with the United Way.
Right now, we have just under 200 people actually approved.
And it has just gotten a $2 million donation from the Michigan Health Endowment Fund. And with that,
We anticipate we'll be able to help about 6,000 customers.
Another campaign, the crowdfunded Detroit Water Project, is connecting donors directly with people who need help. The project's website says it has 7,000 donors. Greg Eno, a public affairs specialist with Detroit Water and Sewerage, says his office has only one goal.
The theme right now is keep the water on, and whether that's through donation, whether that's through our payment plans, or whether that's through any other source of funding, whatever it takes, that's the mission.
I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
I have some live stock market numbers here. The 100-share index in London is down 0.5%. The DAX in Germany down 1.4%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.7% overnight. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. The Federal Communications Commission is thinking about getting rid of what's known as the NFL television blackout rule. The rule says NFL games can't be broadcast locally unless they're sold out. The Congressional Black Caucus is opposed to the change, and here's why. They say the elimination of the blackout rules will drive the NFL to air games on cable TV. Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
This is a debate that pits government authority against NFL brawn. The NFL likes things the way they are.
Trying to make something happen. Great throw and catch.
The blackout rule fills stadiums. Fans, even teams, will buy up extra tickets to make sure the stadium is full. If not, the game can't be broadcast within a 75-mile radius.
Well, Nancy, it's pretty simple.
That's Hall of Famer Lynn Swann. He's the NFL spokesman in the blackout rule showdown. The Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl champ says the NFL could move its games to cable TV if the blackout rule were repealed. Swan says now the rule allows everyone to watch NFL games.
And it protects a model that allows it to be over the air and free for everyone when the games are sold out.
Also on Swan's side, the Congressional Black Caucus. Caucus members wrote a letter to the FCC saying minority fans who can't afford cable rely on free TV broadcasts of games.
In my view, that argument doesn't hold water for a couple of different reasons.
Ajit Pai is on the other side of the line of scrimmage. He's an FCC commissioner who's demanding that the blackout rule be repealed. He says the NFL is bluffing and would never take games off free TV because the broadcasts are so profitable.
Taking the product off the air is simply cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Sports economists have been watching anxiously from the sidelines. Rob Boddy teaches economics at Lake Forest College. He says use economics to decide the fate of the blackout rule. Just ask, do the benefits of the rule outweigh the costs? He says no. It's not fair to require fans to shell out hundreds of dollars to go to a game and black it out if they don't.
And so $75 a ticket, add to that parking, concessions, and paraphernalia. I mean, it's a very expensive family outing.
The FCC could vote on whether to repeal the blackout rule as soon as this fall. In the meantime, you could just listen to the game on the radio. The blackout rule only applies to TV. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Another story we're following this morning, the Great New England Supermarket Feud appears to be over. Employees and customers at the Market Basket chain who wanted the old boss back are getting their wish with the return of CEO Arthur T. DeMullis. Employees walked out. Customers boycotted the stores after the company's board, controlled by a family member, ousted Arthur T. His $1.5 billion buyout offer has reportedly been accepted now. The logistical operation to restock the 71 stores has already begun. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.